Louisa was born in 1850 in Dover, England. She was saved at the age of 9, and when she was a teenager, the Lord began to speak to her about becoming a missionary. At 21, she immigrated to the United States. She went to a revival meeting in the city of Urbana, Ohio. And at that revival meeting, God called this young lady to be a missionary. She got ready and made preparations to go to China. But then she had a health problem, and the board that she was working through told her that it would not be wise to go to China with that specific health problem. And so she stayed in her church and began to work for the Lord. At the age of 30, she married a man named Stead. They had a little girl named Lily. When Lily was 4 years old, they went on a family picnic to the beach in Long Island, New York. Little Lily wandered out farther in the water than she should have gone, and the undertow caught her and started dragging her out to the ocean. Her dad jumped into the water and saved her life, but in the process, he drowned. And so this young mother became a widow. A couple of years later, an opportunity for mission work came up in the land of South Africa. And Louisa took her little girl Lily, and they went to South Africa as missionaries. And it was there on the mission field in South Africa that Louisa M. R. Stead penned one of our most blessed hymns, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." The chorus goes, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." This morning, I want to speak on the subject trust. The word trust, according to Webster, means to believe in or to rely on. If I trust you, I believe in you, and I rely or depend on you. And Isaiah wrote in the chapter 12 that we wrote, that we read, he says, "God is my salvation, I will trust." He said, for my salvation, I'm going to trust, or I'm going to lean on, or I'm going to depend on, or I'm going to believe in what God has provided in his Son, Jesus Christ. But then he said down in verse 5, he hath done excellent things. And what Isaiah was saying, not only am I going to trust God for my salvation, but for my life, for my existence, for my day-to-day needs, I'm going to trust God. This morning, I want to say 6 things about trust. And I'm going to do that in the form of 6 questions. And so I always like to give you an opportunity to keep track of where I am. I know it's just about 17 minutes till 12, and I know your expectation is to get out on time. And so you can keep track of how far along I am in my sermon by what number that I'm on. Number 1, the first thing I want to say about trust, I'll ask in the form of a question, whom not to trust? Whom not to trust? I have 3 answers for that. You see, I can't really tell you how many points I have because you'll get discouraged. And so I've disguised it. Whom not to trust? Don't trust yourself. You cannot save yourself. Many people think there's something they can do to make themselves right with God, to pay for their salvation. And so they'll work. They'll do good deeds, and they'll join the church, and they'll get baptized, and they'll take the Lord's Supper. But the Bible is very clear. In the 2nd chapter of Ephesians, the Bible says, our salvation comes by faith, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So don't trust yourself for salvation. Don't trust that you can do something yourself to make yourself right with God, because you cannot. I know people that tell me, well, I'm hanging on for my salvation. I feel sorry for people that are hanging on for their salvation. I'm not hanging on. Somebody's hanging on to me. And that somebody that's hanging on to me is the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had to hang on to my salvation, there's going to come a time in my life where I will get weak, that I will lose my grip. And if my salvation depended on what I did, I'd be lost, lost, lost. But I'm not depending on myself. I'm depending on somebody else. So don't trust yourself. Don't trust others. Others cannot save you. Others cannot give you what you need to make your sins right before a holy, righteous God. I know some of us, and all of us probably have close friends. We have people that we depend on. We have people that we believe in. But I want to tell you something. Your friends cannot make you right with God. In the book of Acts, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. So no other person, not your parents or your grandparents or your friends, can do anything that'll help you get right with your God. So don't trust others and don't trust things. Don't put your trust in the things of this earth, because the things of this earth one day are going to be gone. The Bible says, don't store up your treasures down here because they'll rust or moss will come and eat them or somebody will come and steal them. And all the things of this earth, the things that so many people think are so important, one of these days are not going to be worth anything. They're going to rot. They're going to fall away. So do not put your trust in things, because things can do nothing to make you better in God's sight. Things can do nothing. So whom not to trust? Don't trust yourself. Don't trust others. Don't trust things. Whom to trust? Number two, very simple. Isaiah tells us, trust God. Trust God. If you're going to believe in somebody, believe in him. If you're going to lean on somebody, lean on him. If you're going to put your reliance on somebody, put your reliance on him. Isaiah says, God is my salvation. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. I will trust him. David said in Psalm 118, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. He said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In other words, in the government, in those that rule. David says, I'm not going to trust man. I'm not going to trust those that are in positions of leadership. It is better to trust God than it is to trust any man or to trust any ruler. Jesus is the only way for salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So don't trust anybody else or any other thing to make you right with God. There's only one person that can do that. He made it very, very clear. Neither is there salvation in any other, the apostle says in the book of Acts. Jesus said it in the book of John. I'm the way. No other way. I'm the only way to Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's the only thing that we ought to trust for our life, our day-to-day living, our existence, the things that we need to live this life. I can put my trust in the things of this world, but you know what? And all of you have been part of this same thing. You know, I got this little thing called a 401k. A few years ago, I could look at it and say, I'll be okay. Now I look at it and say, I'm in trouble. So my trust for my day-to-day life is not in my 401k. You know, a few years ago, I could look at my retirement and say, I'm okay. Now I look at my retirement and say, I'm in trouble. Because things of this world change. Change. You see, what I need from day to day, I'm not depending on the money, the little bit of money that I have in the bank. I'm not depending on my retirement from a company that I spent almost 40 years for. You know why? They broke their promise. But you know what? I'm depending on somebody who never breaks their promises. I'm depending on somebody that says that he'll provide my every need through his riches in Christ Jesus. I'm going to depend on somebody that has proven over and over and over and over to me that he is able to keep every promise. The song says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It also says, yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm not going to trust the things of this world. I'm not going to trust my other people. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to trust God, because he is the author and the finisher of my salvation, and he promises that he will meet my every need. Here's a third question. When do I trust? When to trust? And the answer to that question is now. Now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not saved this morning, you need to trust Jesus. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but now. Right now. Today. At this moment. Again, I'm not going to trust myself. I'm not going to trust others. If I trusted myself, if I trusted others, if I trusted things, I would have to worry about my eternity, because those things fail. But I'm going to put my trust in somebody that is eternal. Amen? You see, I'm not eternal. I had a beginning, and this old body's going to have an end. My friends are not eternal. The things of this world are not eternal. If I'm going to trust my eternity for something, I'm not going to trust something that's not eternal. I'm going to trust something that is eternal. I'm going to trust somebody that always has been, always will be, the eternal Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust him. And if you haven't trusted him, you need to trust him now. And by the way, you know when you need to trust him for the things that you need for life? Today. Now. You don't look, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. The only time that you have to live is today. So many people, they live in the past. I want to tell you something this morning. If you're living in the past, get over it. It's gone. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Some people live for the future. I want to tell you something, and again, I'm not saying you ought not to plan. I think you ought to plan. I think you ought to have insurance. I think you ought to plan your funeral. I think you ought to know that tomorrow's coming, but I want to tell you something. Tomorrow is not here yet. I don't have to live in tomorrow. I only have to live today. And so I'm depending on God to give me what I need. Not yesterday, although he did that. Not tomorrow, although I know he's going to do that. I'm depending on God to give me what I need today. That's why there's so many pictures in the Bible that remind us that we need to trust him today. When he fed the Israelites, you remember? How often did he give them manna? Every day, except for the Sabbath. Monday or Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day they would go out and they would gather what they needed for that day. On Friday, they gather twice as much because God didn't want them working on the Sabbath on Saturday. But every day he gave them what they needed to teach us that every day he will give us what we need. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Here's what we want to pray. Give us this day what we'll need for the next month. I'd like to put it in the cupboard. I'd like to put it in the freezer. I'd like to put it in my pantry so that I can look at it and I can know that I'm going to be able to eat tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And God says, hey, Why would I do that? I just give you what you need every day so that you'll look to me, so that you'll trust me, so that you won't put your dependence on things that you have. So when to trust him? Trust him now. If you're not saved, you get saved right now. If you're depending on something else for your being and your living, I'm going to tell you what. It'll let you down. I don't know what it is, but it'll let you down. But I know somebody that'll never let you down. I know somebody that for 40 years fed the Israelites every day with manna. I know somebody that every day for the rest of your life will give you what you need. How to trust. Number four, how to trust with your whole heart, with your whole being. Half-hearted trust won't work. The Bible says, cast yourself upon the Lord. Throw yourself upon the Lord, all of yourself. Hold nothing back. I want to tell you something this morning. You can't trust Jesus 50% and something else 50% and make it to heaven. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to trust Jesus for half of my salvation, and the other half, I'm going to be a good person. Good luck. Jesus will take care of his half, but you'll fail on yours. Guarantee you. Well, I'll trust Jesus for 90% of my salvation, and I'll be good for the other 10%. Won't work. Jesus will take care of his 90%, but you'll fail on your 10%. Okay, I'll trust Jesus for 99.9% of my salvation, and the other 0.01%, I'll take care of myself. Good luck. He'll take care of the 99.9%, but I guarantee you, you will fail on the 0.01%. How should I trust him with 100%? I should cast my whole self on him. Because if I depend on anything that I can do, even if it's 0.0000001, I will fail. And so will you. And so 100% of my trust for my salvation needs to be in Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Give him all your worries. Give him all your problems. Just give them all to him. Here's what we do. We get all of our problems, and we go to Jesus. And stand up, Darwin. I'm going to let you do something that you'll never get to do again. You'll get to be Jesus this morning.
First time for everything.
Here's what we do. I'll give Jesus this problem. I think I'll give him this one too. I'll give him this one. And I will give him this one. I'll keep this one. Stay out of my preaching. I don't know about these guys. But here, I give him 80%, 4 out of 5. I can handle this. Wait a minute. I think I can handle this one too. I think I can take care of this one too. This is what we do. We give him all our problems. We're going to say, I'm trusting him for everything. Oh, wait a minute. I think I'll take these back. Is that casting all your care upon him? No. Casting all your care upon him says, here, you can have them all. I'm not going to worry about them. They're in the nail-scarred hands. The hands that Gary sang about a moment ago that made the whole world. Thank you, Darwin. You can sit down. The hands that Gary sang about a moment ago that made the whole world. I'm going to cast all my cares on him, all of them. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to give them all to him. He'll take care of every single one of them. Number five, who will trust? Who will trust? Those that know him. Those that know him. You know, there are people in this room that I trust. I believe in them and I will depend on them because I know them. They've proven themselves through trials, through heartaches, through tribulations. There's other people in this room that I don't trust. Not because they've let me down, not because they failed me in any way. It's just I don't know them. We haven't been through anything together. I submit to you, that's how we trust God. We get to know him. I hear the Bible where the Bible says that I'm a sinner. I hear the Bible where the Bible says there's a penalty for my sin and that penalty is to be separated from God forever. I hear the Bible and it tells me about one who went to the cross and took all of his sins, all of my sins upon himself. And on that cross died to pay the penalty for every single one of my sins. And I hear in the Bible that if I will come to that one who has paid for all my sins and ask him to save me, he will save me. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was down on my knees in front of that red vinyl couch in my pastor's study, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior, I didn't understand at all. I didn't understand how much of a sinner I was. I didn't understand how much of a Savior he was. I didn't understand it. I was acting on simple childlike faith. Even though I was a teenager, I was acting on a faith where my preacher told me that Jesus loves you. He died for you. If you ask him, he'll save you. And I got down on my knees and I asked him to save me. But since I've been saved, I've got to know him. I've got to know him. I've got to know how good of a God that he is. I've got to know how wicked of a sinner I am. And even though I still look through a glass darkly, and even though I'm still haven't understood the breadth of his love and the depth of his love, the more I know him, the more I love him, and the more I am thankful for my salvation. And in the same way, the more trials and heartaches that he brings me through, the more I understand and realize that I can trust him. When I left Joseph and Tammy's house on Friday night, I couldn't help but weep all the way home. I marveled at their faith. I mean, when I left, they probably didn't know that God was working in my life. At least I tried not to give them, you know, any indication, but I just marveled. I tried to put myself in Joseph's place. How would I feel? What would I do if I had a little baby who was missing, you know, such an important part of her body? What would I do, you know, having gone through open heart surgery once and then having to look forward to it three or four more times? What would I do? What kind of faith would I have? And then I thought that they live up in Bridgeport, and by the time I got down to Pearson Road or so, I said to myself, I would do the same thing that they're doing. I would trust God. I trust God. There's nothing else nothing else they can do. Nothing else I can do. Nothing else any of us can do. I mean, we can love them and we can pray for them and we can help them. But there's nothing else we can do to help little Lydia except trust God. Trust God. And the more things like that God makes me aware of, the more things like that I see people going through, the more I get to know him, the more I trust him. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. And then number six, quickly. What's the fruits of trust? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I'm not afraid of eternity. I'm ready for eternity because I've trusted in Jesus Christ and he saved me. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. I'm not afraid. because I know a God who promises to take care of me. Who trusts him? Who trusts the most? The ones that get to know him. The ones that go through trials and heartaches and tribulations and prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus. How I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Would you trust him this morning? If you're here and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, trust him for your salvation. If you're here this morning and you haven't trusted him for your daily living, for what you need day by day, trust him for that. Prove him o'er and o'er. He'll never fail you. Never, ever, ever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would trust him. They would come to him, admit their sin, understand that nobody else can save them except for him. And if it be a teenager, an adult, man or woman, boy or girl, Father, whoever it is that's here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray they'd come, get to know you this morning, and trust you for their salvation. And then, Father, I pray for the many, many Christians that are here. Help us to understand we don't have to face life alone. We don't face life alone. We face it with you. And you give us everything that we need. Everything that we need. So, Father, I pray you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.